My sermon title, A Savior Different Than We Expected. In this passage, there's a conflict that comes up as Jesus talks about what his purpose is. After he has asked the disciples, what are the people around us saying about me? What do you say about me? For in their eyes, they didn't see a Messiah suffering, dying, being mistreated. And yet he would. Yet he would be. And so he's a Savior different than they expected, and a Savior different than we expect as well. There's a popular British film series, a TV series called The Vicar of Dibley. And in it, it's a story of a small church in a small community with all the idiosyncrasies and strange people that live there. And one of them happens to be an individual that looks a lot like Charlie. And he serves on the church council. And every evening when they're sitting around doing the work of the church and making decisions, they will ask a question of the one individual who looks like Charlie on that board, and they'll ask him, are you here tonight? And he would say, no, yes. And it was always the last answer you needed to listen to. And so when the business of the church would be going on, and they would turn and say, well, how do you vote on this decision we need to make? And this man who looked like Charlie, and he would say, no, yes. It's interesting that late in the series, you meet his wife, and every answer she has is, yes, no. So the two fit together very well. When dealing with such characters whose first answers are, no, yes, you must pay attention a long time to get to what answer is the one you need to run with. Jesus is giving his disciples and us a clear indication that there may be many no's along the way of what we don't want to hear, but then a yes as to what God is going to do in our midst. In this morning's passage from the Gospel of Mark, Jesus, for the first time, tells his disciples that he will be handed over to evil people, that he will suffer and die on the cross. And the disciples' answer is, no. But Jesus says, yes. Jesus has them pay attention to what others are saying about him when he says, who do people say that I am? And then he zeroes that question in to say, and what about you? What about you? You are the Messiah, the disciples say. You are the anointed one. You are the Holy One of God. You are our long-awaited Savior. Jesus then tells them what's ahead. What will the next steps be? And they're not what the disciples want them to be. They're not the direction the disciples would choose things to go. And so their answer is, no. And Jesus says, yes. He will be handed over to evil people. He will suffer and die on a cross. For them, an incredulous thing. This cannot happen to you. Surely there must be some other plan for God to bring about what God is doing in that day or in our day. But this is a Savior different than what they expect and different than what we expect. For them and for us, just when we think we've got Jesus figured out and what God's purpose is, God will say, I'm going this way instead of the way you think. Up to this point in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has been depicted as a healer, a teacher, a wonder worker in the miracles that he's done. And now we take a deeper step, a step deeper into the love of God and the ultimate purpose of God, that Jesus, as the loving Savior, is the one who suffers because of his love on our account. Later, when we stand and gather at this table and break bread and partake of the cup, remember those words? Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me. My body broken for you. My blood spilt on your behalf." At this communion table, we don't hear ourselves saying, "No, no, 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 no." We say, "Yes. Thank you, Lord, for being so loving that your love reaches through time and through our nose to take hold of us." The story of creation, as beautiful as it began, as we sang when we opened our service with "Morning Has Broken," beautiful words that take us back to the Garden of Eden, that first morning, that first chirping of the bird's song. But remember how quickly things turned from a pristine garden to a broken and decaying world. And it started with the first family going against what God said to do or not to do. And so if we go through those chapters from Genesis to Revelation, it's very quickly we can come to the conclusion, one of the basics of Christian faith is that we, you and I, we are sinners. The great English Catholic writer G.K. Chesterton, my mom's favorite Catholic writer, was asked to submit an essay on the theme, "What's Wrong with the Modern World?" And Chesterton sent back a two-sentence article, "What's Wrong with the World? Me." Whether we turn to Genesis or in through the middle of the Old Testament, on into the New Testament, it's very quickly we come in contact with the plan of God is not how things went. We human beings and all of creation have not gone in the direction that God has intended us. And that even now, as good church-going people, it is the love of God that still needs to shape, melt, mold, and fill us and use us. We have a Savior different than we expected, and yet one exactly as we needed. Apparently, there is no limit to God's determination to love us. Apparently, there is no depth to which you or I can descend. No hellish place that we may find ourselves that is beyond the reach of our great loving God. Because of the wedding that we did just recently, I turn to the wisdom of the stories written about Winnie the Pooh. It is oftentimes children's storybooks that help bring out powerful truths for us. Well, in the book, Winnie the Pooh and the North Pole, it's Christopher Robin who's organized the band of animal friends for a journey to the North Pole. The preparation for this expedition is going quite well, except for one minor problem. No one is quite sure where the North Pole is. And if they were to go in the direction of the North Pole, even what the North Pole looks like. So Christopher Robin, who proposed this grand expedition to find it, the North Pole, is clueless how to get them there. So often we are wanting to go to a destination and are unclear about what the very first step is. and how to go in the direction of it. It is this quest that we continue to find what it is, to look where we don't know how to get there, and what we find is our Savior saying, follow me. Today, follow me. Today, take up your cross. Today, follow me in the route I will show you. Jesus was, from the first, not the Savior we thought we wanted or deserved. But it is to us, in the midst of us saying, no, 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 it's Jesus saying, yes. When you are lost, I will find you. Where you go, I will go. And I will lead you to the end. Nothing can separate us from the great love of God. Nothing in all creation, not height, nor depth, nor distance, nor powers, nor principalities, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's not the Savior we expected, but it's the Savior we need. And so we turn to the communion table, and Jesus called to us, saying, come unto me. I invite you to turn to your bulletins as we begin with the great prayer.